You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We don't agree with violence. We do not agree with the government. We do.
The Wire.
On the 1st of March 1954, the Castle Bravo nuclear bomb was detonated on the Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands as part of a nuclear weapons test by the United States. The bomb, which was 1,000 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima, required the atoll's 200 indigenous inhabitants to be relocated to the Rongerik Atoll before being allowed to return in the 1960s. However, the bomb's detonation has had devastating impacts on the Marshall Islands ecosystem and has created lasting impacts that Marshallese people still face today. As such, Greenpeace Aotearoa have issued a call to the United States government to pay reparations to the Marshallese people for the impacts of nuclear testing and to comply with Marshallese demands for recognition and nuclear justice. I spoke to Shiva Gowden from Greenpeace Aotearoa to discuss their call, Greenpeace's call for reparations, as well as the Rainbow Warrior Voyage, which will be traveling to the Marshall Islands to conduct research on the impacts of U.S. nuclear testing.
Okay, so to begin, can you tell us about Greenpeace's call for reparations to the Marshall Islands and the impacts of the detonation of the Castle Bravo nuclear bomb?
Yeah, look, the story of the Marshallese people is one of extreme tragedy, you know, but also one that gave rise to some of the most powerful justice warriors, as I like to call it. The infamous Bravo test or the Bravo nuclear bomb that was dropped in Marshall Islands after several years of testing and bombing. And I think to kind of put it into perspective, it was like dropping 1.6 Hiroshima bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs every year for 12 years on Marshallese people. So this history of injustice is deeply tragic for the Marshallese people. And 40 years ago, when the U.S., so U.S. after the 1954 bombing, 3 years later, they told communities that it's fine for them to go back to the islands, eat from the land, etc. But this was highly radioactive environment, so it wasn't safe for those communities. And 40 years ago, the Rongelap community of Marshall Islands put out a call because they could feel the impacts of radiation on their body for 20-something years. They lived in it because the U.S. told them that it was safe to do so. And the Rainbow Warrior, the Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior, was actually on its journey to protest against the Mururoa testing in Maui Nui, or French Polynesia now, against nuclear testing. And they were on that path, and they answered that call to see if they could relocate the Rongelap community to Mejato, another place in Marshall Islands, so that they can be away from the radiation testing. And that kind of assisted in generations of people that followed from that Rongelap community, who are now who now call Mejato home, who now call Majuro, which is their main capital city, home. So this story of injustice goes beyond just like a bombing of an atoll. It's relocation, it's people's cultures being kind of stripped away, etc. But I want to stress that the Marshall Islands is not just this legacy. You know, they are proud people who love their beautiful culture. They are vibrant people with lots of love and a beautiful relationship with their environment. They're very strong advocates fighting for the fighting against the threats of climate change, and they protect the ocean. So these are such important things, and the Marshallese government has asked us to join and come to the shores again to assist in a few things. One is that the Marshall Islands government has called for to assist in collecting independent science data, because most of the science that's currently carried out in Marshall Islands is been done by the United States. Also, we are a global organization, so we've got global platforms, a far reach, and we want to utilize it to center the Marshallese stories, center the Marshallese experiences, their culture, the community, etc. So yeah, this journey is not just about the nuclear justice legacy, but it's also about celebrating the resilience of the Marshallese people, the Marshallese culture. The call for reparation from the U.S. government. So the Marshallese government currently is tied onto something called the Compact, and it's a free association with the United States. However, a lot of conditions within that Compact makes it very difficult for the Marshallese people and the Marshallese government to ask for the reparations that are not just necessary, but what is their right of what the US has done. So this trip will aid in terms of not just that independent science data, but collection of intergenerational stories that helps the Marshallese people and the Marshallese government in what they called a change petition. So it's the change of circumstances petition that they in a few years that they will take to the U.S. government to revisit those compact agreements.
So how much is owed in reparations and compensation to the Marshallese people by the U.S. government exactly?
Yeah, I don't know if you can put a figure to the amount of damage that has gone through. Like I said, it wasn't just the nuclear bomb that was detonated, but it was the generations of people that were impacted. You know, the relocation of people who've had to move countries because they can't live in those radioactive environments. And I don't know if you can really measure that impact. It could be in the billions of dollars. And currently the U.S. gave only $150 million, you know, which is far short of what is required for the Marshallese people who can't eat from the land in certain places, who for generations have been in another atoll, so they haven't been back home. They've had to adjust to the cultures of the land that they are now calling home. Their people have to learn different languages in another country rather than the Marshallese language. So all of these things, I don't think you can measure in terms of monetary value. But if you had to kind of say a figure, it should be in the billions of dollars that Marshallese government should be owed by the U.S. government.
Has the United States offered any form of compensation or assistance to the Marshallese people for the damage caused by the bomb's detonation?
Yes, yeah, so they provided $150 million. That was the compact agreement deal, $150 million for the whole country. But that falls far short, you know, for decades and decades of generational trauma that has been left by the nuclear injustice. And then there's this thing of like compact of free association, which means that the Marshallese people can go to US without a visa and work there, etc. But again, you have to be able to afford to get to US, and then you have to remove yourself from what Pacific people generally are very connected to the land and ocean. So removing them or removing themselves to go to US is kind of stripping a huge part of their identity and a huge part of what makes them Marshallese, you know. So that $150 million falls incredibly short, but it's also far beyond just the monetary compensation. It's a hit to a lot of the fabric of what makes Marshallese people Marshallese.
And what are the ongoing impacts of U.S. foreign policy in the Marshall Islands and the wider Pacific region that we could possibly see in the near future?
So the U.S., in the case of Marshall Islands, it's quite sad, unique, all of the above, you know, because the Marshallese people are very dependent on the U.S. Support because of years and years of the U.S. occupation of Marshall Islands, which means while they are trying to fight for this reparations and fight for justice from the U.S., they still also have to somewhat depend on the U.S. in terms of the aid and the funding of programs and projects, etc. And now the U.S. pulling out of the, with the new government pulling some of the U.S. funding out of the region, etc., it impacts not just the Marshallese people, but it impacts all of the Pacific because of the footprint of the nuclear legacy that has been left in that region. Marshallese people, but also like people across the Pacific, especially the Northern Pacific, was under U.S. rule, you know, for a long, long time, for lack of a better word. And now pulling away from that responsibility is just the U.S. government shying away from all the damage and injustice they have caused in that region. And the whole global community needs to know that and push them in terms of ensuring that whatever damage they have caused, now they need to try and fix it. And pulling away aid from that region is not one of the best ways of trying to say that you will fulfill the responsibilities of the damages that you have caused in the region.
All right, thank you very much, Shiva. That's about everything from me. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish off?
Yeah, so like I said, this ship tour, this visit by Greenpeace is far beyond just the nuclear justice legacy. It's about Marshallese people, Marshallese culture and community, and there will be a lot of events and a lot of activities that will surround that, you know, from open boats for communities and schools from the independent science kind of collection of data and collection of samples. There will be intergenerational dialogues where people who have kind of, who have been part of the period of the nuclear testing, as well as the generations that were immediately affected, who will have dialogue with the younger generation in terms of some of the stories that they have kind of experienced for so long, for decades and decades. And we'll be visiting different atolls from Majuro, which is the capital, to Majato, where the Rongelap community was relocated to 40 years ago, and it's the 40th anniversary. So it's a remembrance tour as well, in a way. And then we go to Enwetak, where the Runa Dome is, where the US actually shoved away their nuclear waste in a dome, but the locals call it the Runa Tomb because there's leakage in that tomb as well, and it's that nuclear waste is pretty much leaking into the Pacific Ocean. And then we go to Bikini, where the bomb was detonated, one of the largest bombs in the history of nuclear testing, and then Rongelap, the one that ties the Greenpeace story to Marshall Islands, and then finally Watcher, and then we come back to Majuro, and then we leave the shores. So hopefully those who are in Marshall Islands, but those who are following this story from across the world, can keep the Marshallese story at the center of their hearts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.